return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to a service at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's go into the sanctuary, and here's today's message.
Our God is an awesome God.
Handline Randon, let all them know about anything, any questions you have, all right? Thank you, Jesus. Firestarters are meeting tomorrow night, and then we've got in a few weeks the college service, so hallelujah for all the college kids participating. They're going to lead worship, and they're going to testify and share and who knows what else, but it'll be a good service. I think that's the 21st of April. Next Sunday, we have Quincy Goodstar here from Rapid City. Quincy is just a wonderful brother. He was here a year ago and ministered on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then the rest of the conference was canceled because of weather conditions and stuff. But I'm so glad Quincy's coming back. Just loves Jesus, great teacher. And so encourage you to use the flyer. You've had him for a couple weeks. Use the flyer, invite somebody else to bring somebody else for that. And he really ministers with grace, with love, and so forth. So it'll be a great, great weekend next Sunday morning and Sunday night. So if someone says they can't come a Sunday morning, have them come Sunday night. Amen. And they will be blessed for that. And then we go into our conference. Thank you for people that are serving, baking, helping out that way for the pastor's conference. Amen. This Wednesday, Roger sharing this Wednesday. Hallelujah. Thank you, Roger. He doesn't look that old, does he? You know, he doesn't look that old at all. Roger, you look great. Look great. Hallelujah. What a great age. And your life for Jesus is a great testimony. Hallelujah. The ladies are meeting, of course, Thursday. And that's really a blessing, you know. Michelle's planning a special ladies' Mother's Day on May 9th on that Thursday, so that'll be coming up as well. So there's a lot of good things happening on a regular basis at the Tabernacle, and glad you can plug in and be a part of it. Hallelujah. All right, let's take our Bibles just for a second. Amen. Let's hold them up, say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome to those who would join us in other places, locally, across our country, across Africa, India. You have that going there now, I think. Hallelujah. Just want you to know how much Jesus loves you. Is that working there, Lowell? I'll wait just a minute. Welcome to those that would join us in other places. We just bless you in the name of Jesus. Whatever country you're from, I'll tell you what, Jesus is there and he loves you very, very much. Hallelujah. So we just bless you today in Jesus' name. All right, so we're going to talk about balanced vision. We're celebrating 43 years, hallelujah, of fruitful, spirit-filled ministry. We're the longest pastors by over a decade or two in the history of this whole entire region at one church. So we've just been here a long, long time. We don't look that old, though, do we? But we do have longevity, and we have favor. We've been greatly blessed in so many ways. Hallelujah. And we're making transitions. Pastor Randa now is the lead pastor here at the church. And we're apostolic overseers and so forth. We have a conference coming up again, which is exciting. Thank you, Jesus. 55th conference. Balance, okay? Now, when you came in here today, some of you had a walker, I understand that. But most of you, when you came in here today, you did what? You walked in, right?
Yeah.
And as you walked, your arms, your legs just move in a normal way, right? And God created you this way. He created you with balance. Everything God did was balanced. Everything. We have nature. We have seasons. We have the sun, the moon, the stars, all that. Day and night cycles. It's all in balance. And balance is a key thing. Amen. Even now, okay, there's an eclipse tomorrow. Incidentally, what does the eclipse mean? Nothing. Just means an eclipse. You got people that will say all kinds of stuff. And let me just tell you. It's like the people with the blood moons that made all the money on the blood moons, but of course, nothing. There's always eclipses. There's always blood moons. There's always things like that. All right? So don't follow the signs. Follow the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So because we have people that, these are just things God created. They're just out there. But He created us in balance.
Amen.
Amen? So don't follow all that other stuff, which is quite different. You know, people say, you have to repent on April 8th. Well, why don't you repent on March 20th when you said it? Why would you wait till April 8th? You know what I mean? And then you got people say, the eclipse is going over Nineveh. To the world, that means nothing. And obviously, Nineveh repented because someone preached the gospel. So you got to preach the gospel, right? You get all these things that are just kind of sad. We shake our head and think, oh, my goodness. You know, and the people run after stuff and so forth. But balance is a key thing in our lives. You have in your bulletin here a vision of the church. And notice a circle. It's a wheel. Wheels are always in balance, right? So a wheel just rolls this way. It's not a block like a ka-tunk, ka-tunk. It's a wheel. It flows. It moves smoothly. And so around us is part of our church, you know, what we want to do. It's balance. A loving church, a faith church, a healing church. This was presented at the annual business meeting that Pastor Rannon shared at. Victorious church, friendly church, spirit-filled church, soul-winning church, multiracial church, multicultural restoration church, worshiping. And we're doing what? Well, we're teaching, we're preaching the love of Jesus. We're a love center, right? Teaching center, training center. All these things are from the Holy Spirit, and they all deal with balance. Now, Psalm 46, it starts in verse 1. We'll just read it. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we'll not fear, even though the earth be removed, the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, waters roar and be troubled, the mountains shake and swelling. Verse 4, there's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. So verse 4 is like a theme verse of ours. There's one river, the Holy Spirit. And what is a river? What flows into a river? Well, streams flow into a river, correct? So in our state, we have a major river that goes through our state called the Missouri River. And the Missouri River starts up way in Montana, not far from Yellowstone National Park. So from there, many, many streams flow into that river to make it what it is. And as it passes our state, other streams will flow into it, like the Sioux River flows into the Missouri River. These are streams, right? So notice there's a river, singular, but then there are streams. A stream is like teaching or an emphasis. And the Lord spoke to us when we stepped out in faith over 43 years ago. He says, don't build on a stream, build on the river. Now, lots of ministries will build on one thing. They say, well, we're a prayer ministry. That's great. We're a soul-winning ministry. Wonderful. We're a worship ministry. Great. You know, but those are streams. Some people say, we're just a faith church. Yep. Amen. We should be. But build on all the streams, balance, that come into the river. So therefore, in any particular time, you were not camping on a stream, but on the river, all those rivers flow into it, and all of it brings a balance to your spiritual walk. So there might be a time, a season, you're focusing on one thing, that's good, but then that season will change and you'll focus on other things. Amen? And so that it helps you to grow properly, like eating a balanced diet, You don't live on sugars and sweets. Hallelujah. You live on a balanced diet. Should have a few amens there. So you know, it'd be like if we were having a coffee fellowship and he says, we got donuts, everybody shows up. If we have vegetables or broccoli salad, people don't show up, whatever, but it's balanced. Balance is good. All right. So John 7, verse 38 and 39, just talks again about the river. And Jesus likened it to the Holy Spirit. And out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, these are streams. But he spoke this concerning the Spirit who those believing on him would receive. Now think about this. So as we believe the Word of God, as we apply the Word of God, then the Word of God or the river begins to flow out of us. Now, this is important. So it says, out of us will flow these rivers of living water. So as we grow in the Lord, these streams begin to flow out of us to where? To other people. And you become a blessing to other people based on whatever their need might be, right? We just prayed for some needs here today, but that need could be healing or the family or finances, but it could be other things. And so because of the Word of God and the balance of the Word of God, it helps you and I to minister. And out of our spirit will flow these streams. It's a good thing, right? It's a good thing. So Psalm 46, verse 4 again. So notice, all the streams are going to flow. The streams flow into a river. The river whose streams, plural, all right? So streams that flow into the river shall make glad the city of God. Shall shall bless or make glad the city of our God. Now the city of our God is the body of Christ. It's the church. So in other words, obviously the word makes us happy. Amen. Yeah. Makes us glad. These streams make us glad. The city of our God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God. So when you have balance, balance will bring stability. You should write this down. Balance will bring stability. Stability will bring strength. So, when you're balanced, you're stable. But when you're stable, you're stronger. In other words, you're able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. You're able to stand in this life against adversity, against things that come against you to tear you down or hurt you. Heard a message on forgiveness here at Sunday school. So balance brings stability. Stability brings strength. All right. So notice I'm not up here standing on one leg, right? But I'm standing on two legs. There's balance. Normally, this is how we would stand, right? And then this also gives you strength. Why are we still here after 43 years? Balance and stability. Strength. Our message hasn't changed. We're just doing the message that he's taught us to do. So we learn more, of course. But all of that helps us to continue to move forward. And, of course, then we won't be here, and Pastor Rannon will be doing all the ministry and so forth, along with the rest of you. But the message will continue to be the same to encourage people. So in the body of Christ, a problem area is then when people want to hear something new. Tell me something new. So people hear things, and a lot of times people immediately just check out, like, okay, I already know that. Kind of sad. You know, I couldn't tell you how many times I've had a hamburger, but I still have a hamburger or a salad. Love salads. So people want something new. That's why they chase after things, especially in the charismatic movement. They'll chase after things. There's an eclipse happening. Oh, I can't tell you how many things I get on email and how many prophets in the world, you know, are telling what's going to happen. I just think, oh, Lord. Why don't you just get in the Bible and reach souls? People say, it's the last days, it's the last days. And I tell people, to their face, I'll tell them, if you think it's the last days, then you better get your hind end out there and reach souls. Amen. Don't be barking here about all your little deal of the last days. Get out there and reach somebody. Amen. Got too many people squawking using social media and doing nothing. It's almost like they'd be happier if everybody goes to hell. I told you there'd be judgment. Oh boy. Got a lot of mean Christians, folks. You got a lot of mean Christians that should shut their mouth. Billy Graham said, if you're going to talk about judgment or hell, you better talk about it with tears in your eyes. Rather than that pointy finger like that. Everybody talk about tears in your eyes, because why? Souls hang in the balance. That's what this is all about. Us reaching souls. But that isn't new, right? There's so many things that we know here, but have to apply. The streams have to flow out of us. When the streams flow out of us, it ministers joy and life to other people. So the stream, the river, the streams, they make glad the city of God. But the city of God then reaches the world. Amen. Thank you, dear. Thank you. A couple of amens there. Matthew 5, verse 14, just says that the city, you're the light of the world. A city, you're a city that's set on a hill. Now the hill, there's a lot of things that go into this, but it's a hill of holiness. The church should live in a place of holiness. Amen? Why? Because Jesus made us that way. So in other words, the church isn't supposed to be camouflaged in with the world. No, the church should stand out like, hey, there's believers. Amen. There's somebody who's trusting in God. There's somebody who's living the life. I think a lot of people are in the world, they're looking for someone that's living the life. Not just talking the talk, but walking the talk. So balance is huge in life, all right? We're a city that's set on a hill where we should be visible and so forth. We should have people looking at us. How are those Christians living? We do live in glass houses. People do look at us. Turn to your neighbor and say, people are watching you. People are watching you. They're watching me. They're watching all of us. If you say you're a believer, say you're a Christian. So fundamental groups, a lot of fundamental groups, of course, that would emphasize the Word of God, but not the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of sad, of course. So we love the Word of God, but no Holy Spirit, so no supernatural. And then we have other groups, the charismatic or spirit-filled groups, that will emphasize the Spirit of God, but then not much Bible. When we started the ministry, the Lord said, do both, Dave. Do both. Teach the Word, flow in the Spirit. Do both of them. Allow both of them to work together to minister, to flow in the Holy Spirit. That's a healthy thing. What is that? It's balance, right? Acts 9, verse 31, it says that in the New Testament church, they had peace, were edified. They walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. So the fear of the Lord, there's let's just say accountability. The Word of God has standards. You can't, these are just Bible standards. And it's the same worldwide, right? Let me just say this. You have a bottle of water, okay? So this bottle of water is half a liter. Now, who says that this is half a liter? Who says it's 500 milliliters? Who made this up? There's an institute in France, Sèvres, France. It's an institute, World Institute of Weights and Measures. And they measure things. Most of the world is on a metric system, incidentally. So they measure things. And so if I have this here, or I have this in India, or I have this in Africa, it is the same. A liter is a liter. A kilometer is a kilometer. A meter is a meter. Kilogram is a kilogram. So when you go to the gas station, and other overseas are going to sell you liters, so I want 20 liters of gasoline. Well, they're not, you want to make sure, hey, you gave me 19. I want 20. Oh, here, no, our 20 is 19. People don't change it. It's the same. It's a standard. Say standard. Now, we accept this all over. Everybody accepts this. Any culture, any political party, any person, everybody accepts this is how it is. It's a standard. The Bible is a standard. So the world, though, wants to change it like, oh, no, 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 you can't say that. This doesn't apply anymore. That's like saying, no, my leader now is really only 100 millimeters shorter or something. No, no, it's the standard. You don't change it. The Bible doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. I'm the Lord, I change not. Right? Case in point. So I'm talking at a Lutheran church. I'm speaking to, whenever I go to churches like Sunday school classes or whatever, they always have a lot of people show up because they want to hear what I'm going to say. All right? So I'm going to this church, and they always tell me, well, there's somebody there. We want you to tell you about your church and this and that, which gives me a chance to say how I got saved, how I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, there's times for questions, right? So I finish and stuff. And then, of course, the question, well, now, Dave, is your church going to marry homosexuals? Because, of course, their church is. And they voted on it, and they are. So now the question, and I knew this would come up, are you going to marry homosexuals? I said, that's a great question. Let's look at the book of Matthew a second. And I took them over to Matthew chapter 19. And I said, haven't you read that in the beginning he made them male and female? And of course it goes on, the father leaving mother, cleaving to his wife and so forth. What God has joined together, let no man separate. I said, let me read that one more time. So I said, in the beginning, and now he made a male and female. So I read it twice. And I closed the book. And I said, well, I'm just going to follow that verse. Didn't give them my opinion. Didn't say anything else. I said, I'm going to follow that verse. And of course, one of the leaders said, I figured you'd say something like that. Good. You follow the Bible and you're safe. You give an opinion, it means nothing. You're only going to have an argument. But if you follow the scripture, then there's power and there's safety. So the church was encouraged. They walked in the fear of the Lord. There's accountability. There's standards. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for grace. Amen? Amen. Grace and freedom. Not law, but grace and freedom. And out of that, then, of course, the church multiplies. All right. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. So we have the Holy Spirit. And one of the things we want to do is just to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and around our lives. So when you come together, someone has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation. This is public, you know, an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So there's flexibility in the service to allow, based on different times, things happening, to allow for God, for people to have prayer, to allow there might be a prophecy, to allow there might be some other word. You know, now most of the time, though, God lets us know these things ahead of time. You know, so that what? So someone may say to me, hey, the Lord said this or this or this. I feel this. Or, and say, hey, let's work that in. Sometimes, you know, well, when we started the church, we had a song leader. And he'd play a song. And then it was quiet and pause. And he'd play another song. Pause. So I said to him, what are you doing? I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, that's kind of awkward. I said, you know what? He said, what? I bet God can tell you Wednesday what to sing on Sunday. I bet he's that big he can do that. He looked at me like, okay, yeah, plan. God is a planner. Everything he did was a plan. That's why you are the way you are. You're created in his image. He's a planner. So you plan things. It's like a message. You wouldn't want me to come up here and say, I'm just going to wait for the Holy Spirit to tell me something, get a scripture tell you. Well, you'd be kind of bored. And it probably wouldn't flow very good. Now, there's times you can deviate from that. You have a message, deviate, great. But otherwise, you have a plan. Say a plan. See, again, some of the Spirit-filled people don't like that. Oh, we don't want a plan. Well, okay. But proper planning prevents poor performance. And if you plan, you know, God will lead you. It's like Jesus feeding the 4,000 and the 5,000. He actually had a plan. And he said, well, these people are really hungry. They haven't eaten for 3 days. And if they see a pile of fish and bread, we're going to have a stampede. So let's let them sit down. And I want you to sit down in companies of 50s and 100s. So he organized it. He got it all organized and so forth. Had the disciples and others, servers, amen. So getting out here, counting the people, groups of 50, our 50, groups of 100. It took a long time to organize thousands and thousands of people. And if you know what people are like, they say, but I want to sit by Bill over there. No, sit down here. You'll talk to Bill later. People got opinions. Jesus just waited. Probably took hours. People sometimes don't think about the mechanics and stuff. Probably took hours, just waited. Finally, they came back. Hey, they sat and said, sit on the green grass. Over. Okay, all plastered all over this area. Acres, acres of people. Finally, they come. Hey, we got them all sit down. Okay, let's take. We've got 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Lord, thank you. Begin to pass it out, put stuff in baskets. They took it out. One basket, I'm sure, fed 50. Bigger basket fed 100. All of it was organized. And he picked up the scraps. He never wasted a thing. It all was used for his glory. So planning is important. Right? Planning is very, very important. People in life, for whatever reason, procrastinate and so forth. And Christians, a lot of times, don't plan. Christians don't plan that they're going to die. Don't have life insurance. Don't have a will. Kind of silent there. But anyway, the fact is, everybody's going to die. People don't like to talk about it. But actually, you should accept that, right? I mentioned this the other day to Sarah and Reed, but Joe Robbie was a gentleman that grew up in Sisseton, South Dakota, and came and got his law degree. So he got his law degree, and then he was a businessman in the Twin Cities, and then he got excited about sports. And when the football leagues were expanding, he got the franchise for the Miami Dolphins. Okay? He's an attorney. Made millions of dollars and worth tens of millions of dollars and built Joe Robbie Stadium. And when he died, he never had a will. And his family fought and sued and went to court, and people are bitter and people are angry and people don't talk to each other. And most of the estate went to taxes and attorneys. 19 people fought and scrambled, and they all got a little bit of their nugget. And you know why? Because he never planned. And he wasn't young. He just didn't plan. Balance in life. Amen? So we have all these things. We have prophecy. We've got worship. We've got teaching. We've got prayer. We plan. The Holy Spirit brings freedom. Notice what it says. Let all things be done. Now, this is a course which would be good for a lot of fundamental churches, Baptist churches, different churches. Hey, it says to let it be done. Why are we fighting this? Why are we fighting the things of God because we say, no, he can do this and this. He can't do this. But the Bible says, let it all be done. Why are we fighting it? Go down a few verses in 1 Corinthians 14. And it says to desire to prophesy. Wow. Now this didn't go away, right? You know, people will pull out a verse. I say, well, now, Pastor Dave, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, tongues shall cease. Yeah. I said, have you read the rest of it? So will knowledge. So will wisdom. You got, is your head a vacuum that you don't think anymore? You don't know anything? They said, well, no. And I said, well, then that's the context. We still have it. Oh, don't we? Tongues will cease when we get to heaven. Won't need tongues. Got to read the Bible, right? Got to read the Bible. It's like prophecy. I had two pastors take me out years ago, and they were invited me out for coffee. Really was a roasting session to tell me they were upset that college kids were getting filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, and they were going to their group over there. Amen. Well, you got these kids speaking in tongues. He said to me, you can't have that. All of a sudden, my sweet roll that they bought didn't taste so sweet. I said, they're in that side of the booth. I said, yeah, I hear what you said. You know, and I said, well, And then they said, you know, tongues is for missionaries. I said, well, no, I guess I really didn't know that. I didn't know that. And I said, well, you know, let's see. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And it says, he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth. They said, seems like then they're praying in the Holy Ghost. They're praying unto God. But I said, you know me. I don't know as much. And that pastor shook his head and he said, you're not so dumb. He looked at that verse. He couldn't do anything with it. And that's not missions verse. See, people come up with stuff all the time. That's not a missions verse. It's praying in the Holy Ghost. You're praying unto the Lord. The Bible, remember, balance brings stability. Stability brings you strength. All of a sudden you stand. Well, I'm just going to stand on the Word of God. We left that conversation in a place where they were more open than they ever expected to be. Because they, all of a sudden Scripture came to them that in their narrow world they never looked at. Balance. Say balance. Balance is good. So here, we desire to prophesy. Forbid not. Boy, now that's a good verse, isn't it? Don't forbid anybody from speaking in tongues, which I would take it also. Let's get everybody to speak in tongues, right? Amen. So, verse 40 says, let all things be done. Now, here's the catch. Decently and in order. Yeah, there's an order. It should be decent and so forth, you know, all right? So in order to it all, it's not chaotic. There's a plan. God's always working. He's got plans. It's good. So don't forbid speaking in tongues, but let it happen decently and in order. So we're not just running around. Paul said, if I spoke in tongues to all of you, you wouldn't know what I'm saying. I'm not talking to you that way. So we understand each other. But there are times, of course, when privately you're praying in the Spirit, and corporately there's a tongue and interpretation. Those things do happen. I love the Word of God. I love how the Bible gives us strength. Amen? So, notice, let all things be done. Verse 40, decently and in order. Let it happen. So my prayer is, oh, Lord, just let it, whatever you want to do, Lord. I just yield myself to you. But I know it'll flow by the Holy Ghost. Amen? I know it'll flow. And it's not disruptive. We could be in another country. Could be ministering in another country. But I'm still subject to that pastor, then the church I'm in, or whatever. And if I have something, I'll say, Pastor, I was thinking about doing this and this. Is that okay? Of course, usually is, right? But again, just clearing it and say, let's do it this way, this way. And it's great. Let's do it. So we've always said the back, Acts verse, chapter 1, verse 8. You know, his last command is our first priority. Oh, boy, that is so true. So you receive power. Power to do what? Power to be a witness. Not power to have goosebumps and have a Holy Ghost meeting and so forth. And that's fine. You have to be edified. But the power is to be witnesses around the world, which begins in Brookings, goes to Brookings County, South Dakota, the United States, to the ends of the earth. That's what it's talking about. And so we get this power, hallelujah, vision to reach the world. His last command, the Great Commission, is our ambition. Pastors come, they see that, and so forth. We plant seeds with them. Oh, we should do that. Yeah, you should. Turn to your neighbor and say, you should do that, right? So we take progressive steps of faith. We got into this facility. Incidentally, just a quick nutshell. I thought, we don't have any money. Started with no people, no money, no building. Gradually, we got some people, had no money, but we thought it would be great to have a facility. We rented for 9 years. Think of that. Hauled equipment, did things like that. But it takes money to be here. And so the Lord is just saying, Lord, look at the people. They don't have any money. I'm looking at the people of our church. I was looking at them. And the Lord said to me, he says, why would you look at them? Why aren't you looking at me? And I thought, good point. Who's your provider? Well, for anybody. I tell people overseas all the time, they look at Americans and think, Americans got money, give me money, I need money, money. I said, no. You have to trust him like I trust him. Amen. He's your provider, he's my provider. Amen. Right? I'm not a bank. You know, so I'm not just walking out here throwing out money. You know, no, we trust the Lord. So I thought, you know, to raise a couple $100,000, look, it'd be like going to the moon. And he said, what can you believe for? And I said, $10,000. And the Lord said, okay, believe for that. And so I'm sitting in my living room, and he said, walk. He said, how are we going to do it? And he said, just get up and walk. And so I walked across the room, literally walked across the room, got the end, walked back and forth. And I sat down, and he said, what is walking composed of? And I said, steps. And he said, right. Now, how do you walk with these steps? And I got up and walked again. I said, well, they're all equal. And he said, so believe for the 10,000, which happened. Believe for another 10,000, which happened. Yeah. Never changed. Our focus was never more than that, just 10,000, 10,000. And he said, you can walk your way to the facility. And I thought, oh, yeah. So I caught the vision before anything happened. But in bankers, and everybody would say, how can you guys do this? How can you? Because churches are struggling, you know, with money and so forth. I mean, all kinds of things. How can you do this? This is Jesus. It's not that we have wealthy people doing all kinds of things. It's Jesus. It's not like we had one giant check, boom. No, it's Jesus. And that's how we walked our way to this facility. And bought the land and built the place and did the things we did and bought that land over there and bought that land over there is all by walking, taking steps. Say steps. In your own life, you have steps. No matter what age you are, you're here, but you have a vision maybe out here. How are you going to get there? One step at a time. Amen. You know, you're not, whoa, we're getting there. You know, you're not doing the long jump or anything like that. No, you're walking. Amen. Balance. Amen. Balance. Right? And from there, after 1 year, you might look back and say, hey, we've really made progress. Amen. Keep going from there. What's your dream? What's your vision? What does God have for you? Some of you are students and so forth. Where do you think you'll live 5 years from now? Amen. Where do you think you'll work? Some of you here think about, well, savings. How much did you save last year? Well, you should look at it. Think you should have an account. Say, well, I didn't save anything. Or you say, well, I saved this, but we made this on interest. Good. What is it nicer to have interest working for you than against you? Yes. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
All right. So 2 Corinthians 9:8, quickly. We have prosperity as a purpose. You should write down. Prosperity has a purpose. Money has a mission. So he's able to make all grace, say all grace.
All grace.
So that you can have all sufficiency, say in all things. May abound to every good work. It's a verse on the Great Commission. That's what that's about.
Amen.
About reaching our world. Having sufficiency, having grace, abounding in every good work.
Amen.
Prosperity with a purpose. Takes money to do ministry. But it takes money for you to live. You never say, you have to give away all your money. Mm-mm. I mean, people pull this thing out of the Bible. Yeah, we had a rich young ruler that was his God. It's not like saying, you know, your God should be Jesus Christ, right? So we put our trust in him.
Amen.
Oh, quickly. Joshua, let's do a few more verses. Joshua 3, verses 14 and 17. So they come to the river. They're going to cross the Jordan. They're going into the promised land. They're believing the promises of God. Hallelujah. And of course, the Jordan River is overflowing its banks. So it's overflowing the banks. So lots of times when you take a step of faith, if you look at the circumstances, you won't do it. It's like the Bible says there's a great door open, but there are many adversaries. Well, don't look at the adversaries. Look at the opportunity.
Amen.
Look at the opportunity that's out there. The devil never wants you to succeed. So the Jordan River is overflowing and so forth. The verses after that, 16, 17. So the rivers would stand up as they stepped into it. So the waters were cut off, and the people crossed. So the priests who bore the ark stood firm on dry ground. So it's when they stepped into the water that something happened, right? So the people could cross. Verse chapter 4, verse 10. So when they stood in the water, it says the priest that bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan. Now, this is a long time they stood there. In like 5 minutes, they said, come on, okay, get these guys. Okay, we're out of the water. No, no, they were there hours. Hours standing on the dry river bed. The priest stood in the middle until everything is finished and that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak according to the Moses had commanded. And the people hurried and crossed over. They stood by faith in the middle of their circumstances till everything was accomplished. Stood in the middle of their circumstances till everything was accomplished. Quickly, Ephesians 6, just last verse here. Ephesians 6 just says you stand. You gird yourself with truth, with the Word of God. So you're standing, you surround yourself with the truth of God's Word. So when I stand then, in that, and so forth, it causes me to be strong. Balance brings stability. Stability brings strength. Through the years, I've had many people say, you can't do that. You can't do, you can't, God won't, God, you can't, you don't have nothing. You can't build this or do that. Well, I don't listen to them. I want to listen to the Word of God. Surround yourself with the truth of God's Word. Out of that will come stability, strength, and so forth. We've ministered to many business people and so forth through the years. But one of them, like when we did our concrete parking lot, and we had B&B Concrete. There was a concrete company in town that came and did it. They said, it's going to cost so much money. Okay. And it wasn't cheap. And so they graded it, so forth. They did all the stuff. It was already gravel, but then they packed it more and all that. And then they poured the concrete. And when they were done, the owner said to me, and he said, look, Reverend, I know ministers. You come on out and we'll set up a loan for you and you can make payments and so forth. I said, I'll be out tomorrow. Okay. I go out the next day and I hand him a check for thousands of dollars. He's sitting at his desk and I hand him a check for $1,000. Here's the payment. And he swore. He swore. This guy never went to church. Could speak, cuss the paint off the wall. And he said, what the blank are you doing? I said, I'm paying the bill. He says, you don't need my money. Don't need your money. Thanks. Thanks for the offer. Don't need your money. He sat down. He swore again. And I left. And he went downtown, new people, new contractors, knew all the city people. And he went all around town telling people about this church who've never been here. Telling them about this church and how they just paid him. I believe you should have a good testimony. Amen. I believe the balance that God gives us helps you to stand in adversity. We've talked about healing before and all the things with healing in our family and our daughter and so forth. But standing in adversity, standing for how long? Until it's accomplished. Until the mission is complete. It's not like God ever gives us anything. Now, we're going to have to do this for the next 2 days. Just do it. And then see what happens. God is for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is for you. Tell him his plans for you are huge. He wants to use you for his glory. Yes, he does. People have taken this message just by faith. And it's amazing what will happen. This Wednesday night, we had the Johnsons here Wednesday night. And they're talking about having a vision and so forth, a dream, and how the Lord led them to Nicaragua. And it's like, wow. That's pretty neat, amen? And we've seen that again and again, how people will take things and stand on the Word, though. Not just the circumstances, but on the Word and carry forth. Close your eyes. You know, the bottom line to all this is souls. That's the heart of God, is souls, reaching other people. We prayed before for families and different things, but think about people. Just how much God loves people. He loves everybody. His plan for everybody is good. Not to hurt them, not for evil, but for good. So, Lord, I pray out of the people here, you'd bless them that they would be a blessing, just as Jabez was spoken to. Bless them so they can be a blessing. I pray you prosper them so that they can be a blessing to other people. I pray that you give them a word in season that they could minister to other people and share with other people, Father. In Jesus' name, I thank you for a harvest of souls as we pray on Wednesday all the time for revival. Lord, we thank you. You're bringing them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We thank you for revival. We thank you, Jesus, is not just here, but it's worldwide. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for balance. We thank you for the anointing. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in the years ahead until you come, whenever that is, Lord. Thank you for blessing people today. Thank you for blessing people today. I just want you to say, I receive it. Say it again. Just say, I receive it. Lord, we receive it. We thank you. We look ahead for what good things are ahead in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Stand up a second. Let me bless you. Reach out a hand or something to say, I pray the love of the Father, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the peace of Jesus Christ be with you as you leave today. He will guide you. He will direct you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this inspirational message. We trust that you were encouraged in your faith. For additional information or resources, please contact the church at 605-692-4616. You can email us at holylife@brookings.net or visit our website at holylifetabernacle.com. If you're in the Brookings area, please stop by to visit a service. We are located at 241 Mustang Pass, just off Main Avenue South. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., also Wednesday nights at 7. God bless you.